What has the Lord done for you? What has He done for you? Down through your life, some of us a little older here, some of you a little younger. But would you not be able to say that God has done much for all of us? Plenty, hadn't He? Now, when you do something for somebody, I'm thinking mainly of a husband for a wife or whatever, but the wife or the husband too, as far as that goes. Don't you appreciate them saying thank you?
Yes.
Or there's another word in a sense, it's called praise. I want to talk about praising God tonight. I want to start in Psalms 40 and 1, 2 and 3. I've got quite a few scriptures again, but a lot of them's in Psalms this time. I'm not going to be jumping totally all around the Bible like I did this morning. So Psalms 40 and 1 said, I waited patiently. Desire your prayers. The Lord help us tonight. Waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and He heard my cry. And He brought me up and also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry place, set my feet upon a rock, He established my goings, He put a new song in my mouth, even praise be unto God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. Now tonight, God has done a lot for you and I. He done it before we were ever saved, and He's done it after we were saved. You cannot praise God enough. If you praised Him continually, 24 hours a day, the rest of your life, that wouldn't be enough for just what He done for salvation in your life. Just that alone, without all the literal blessings, the financial blessings, and the physical blessings and everything that He gives you, just the spiritual part alone is enough for Him, for you and I to praise Him continually and never quit. Because of the cost it cost Him for what He done. Let me look here right quick. Philippians, isn't it? Philippians 2. I hadn't had this wrote down. It said, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation. Took upon Him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself. Now then, Christ come down, He emptied. The commentaries on this bring out the point. He emptied Himself of all that He had up there, as far as He walked away from it, and He come down here and He took on flesh. Now then, that alone. All right, let me give you another thought along that line. How many of you like roaches? Anybody like roaches in here? None of us, I'd say, like roaches. What do you do with them? You kill them. I've killed a number of them. All the way to big ones. In the southeast, they have big roaches down there. I've had them back in Oklahoma, too, in business, and in particularly in certain places. I'd see these big old roaches in there. And you want to just kind of go along and go like that, and like that, and like that, and kill every one of them you can. Well, let me tell you, folks, when Jesus took on the flesh of a human being, He was like a roach in a sense that everybody tried to kill Him, bless your heart, tried to destroy Him, tried to get rid of Him. They didn't want Him. He was not accepted by His own people, most of all. But the bottom line is, because of all that, and He said there, and He humbled Himself, and He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. When you put that in there, you can never praise Him enough. Because He went all the way to the most horrible death that man could suffer at that time for you. When He spoke to me that day in that vision, standing in that arch, He said, I died for you, child. That's more than just a little passing thought with me. That's something that's gone with me now since 1985. What'd that be? 30-something years, I guess. Well, I got married in 83. So it'd be 35 years. It means something to me. Any song that has about Him dying and so forth, it touches me because He gave His life for me. And He gave it for you. And He wants you and I to respond to Him. And He wants us to praise Him, exalt Him, lift Him up. Not only in our homes, not only here, but on the job and around the people and in the neighborhoods and wherever it might be. God wants you and I to praise Him. He brought us up and also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set our feet upon a rock and He established our going. Let's go the muck and the mire. We was in the mud and grubs of sin. And nobody could get us out of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He had the power. He had the glory. There wasn't nobody to raise you up and out and set your foot on a solid rock. They couldn't do it. Then He switched it from the King Elvis and He gave me King Jesus. And I've been singing His song, praise God, ever since. Tonight, you and I need to praise God. We need to thank Him for what He's done for you and I continually. Let His praise be in our mouth all the time, praise God. Oh, tonight, are we praising Him enough? Some people get excited in services and so forth. But it's not only just there. We need to do it a lot more. We need to praise God around the people. It said even praise be unto God, our God. Many shall see it in fear. People look at this. They consider it and they weigh it out. Who is he? Who is she? What are they doing? They're praising God. Brother Fred Pruitt one time. Now this was years and years and years ago. Now then, it wouldn't be a big deal per se. But Brother Fred Pruitt, somebody gave him an ability to buy an electric razor. So he went to the store, and the guy had it up on a top shelf. The one he got anyway. And so he climbs a ladder, and while he's up there, Brother Fred goes, "Praise God." And the guy looks down and he said, "What are you praising God for?" "Because I got enough money to buy me a razor, praise God." Why? I could buy numbers of razors. I've got cash in the house and I could buy, I don't know, two or three, I don't know how much. But anyway, the bottom line is, it wouldn't be as big a deal to you and I now, but the same thought exists. God provided the razor. God provided the food. God gave us the car and the houses and the boats and the lands and the jobs and the businesses. He gave us all of this, praise God. And you and I need to praise Him and thank Him continuously. Oh, today, are we doing that? Are we doing that like we ought to? All right, let's go to another place. Psalms 107. I love this reading right in here, Psalms. Well, I love Psalms anyway. Most people, this, I could be wrong, but the book of Psalms is probably the most read book in the whole Bible. If you take an old person's Bible that's been saved for years and you look at Psalms, it's pretty marked up usually. It's one that people go through and they read and they read and they read. Why? Because it's encouraging. It's uplifting. And part of it, and there's more about praise in the book of Psalms than I know of any book in the Bible. It said, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord," 107:1, "for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. He gathered them out of the land from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. And He delivered them out of all their distresses. He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation." He's done that for us, folks. He brought us up, He brought us out. But then the 8th verse said that, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." The 15th verse says it. The 21st verse says it. The 31st verse says it. And maybe that's it. And they all get there. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." And it gives different instances and situations. You've read it, no doubt. You know what it says. But it said, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness." He's due our praise. But how much do we praise? Well, I'm a quiet type of fella or lady. Rebecca was in 2007 she went into a nervous breakdown in the summer, in July, right about the end of June. We didn't know for a while what it was. Finally, we pretty well pinned it down. Sister Jeannie Sammons and Aretha Cole pretty well told her. And Sister Jeannie said, "Well, if you hadn't snapped, you got a bad case of nerves." And Sister Reese said flat out, you had a nervous breakdown. People were asking us, and I didn't know for sure. You never would hear a whole lot of her out of her when we were in the house, just her and I, or her and I, the girls. The girls were home at that time. Wouldn't hear a whole lot. But I got news for you. When she went into that thing, I could be in one part and I'd hear her praising God somewhere in the house. She'd know the Lord had done something for her. Praise God, I'd hear her back somewhere in her office or in the kitchen or wherever. Listen, folks, we don't need to have a nervous breakdown to praise God. We need to praise Him for what He's done, for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. He led them forth by the right way. Listen, nobody can get us in the right way and the solid way but God. He said they cried to the Lord in their trouble and He delivered them. They were hungry, they were thirsty, their soul fainted in them. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Listen, folks, we were in no man's land till God delivered us and put us in the church of God. Then we had the city of God that we're in, looking, examining, studying, enjoying, praise God, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, because what He's done for you and I. Shouldn't we praise Him? Shouldn't we give Him more praise than what we are? Now let's go to Psalms 18 now. Psalms 18 and about the third verse, 18 and 3. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about, the snares of death prevented me. But it says here, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy. Who is worthy to be praised. Who is worthy to be praised. He is worthy tonight, is He not? He is worthy. Praise is to commend, to applaud, to express appropriation of, to extol in words or in song, to magnify, to glorify. And Vine's book, I have said, is used of those on account of and by reason of whom as God's heritage praise is to be ascribed to God in respect of His glory, the expedition of His character, and His operation. Oh, today, He's worthy. He's worthy. Why? Because He done a lot of stuff for you and I. He's worthy because He spends time with you and I. We have what we have tonight because He spent time teaching us. We'd have a private tutor, folks. And He's not just any tutor. It's the God of heaven. The great God of heaven. The King of kings and the Lord of lords. He has taught us. He's blessed us. He's helped us. He's heard our prayers during the night, during the day, on the job, in the car, wherever it might be. He has done these things for you and I. He's got down there when we needed to be lifted up and encouraged and strengthened. What did He do? He come down and He touched us over and over and over. A number of years ago, when I lived in Oklahoma City, they were going to build Arcadia Lake. Arcadia Lake's on the edge of Edmond, which is north of me about 6 miles maybe. Then it was, not now, but then. And so they were telling about how they were going to make this big old lake. And they said it's going to come down to a certain spot and stop. And then we're going to buy so much land past that, where if we need it, we'll have it. Well, they stopped right at the north edge of my property. In buying. They wasn't going to touch mine. I said, thank the Lord. That's good. I was thankful for that. Then one day I was out, my neighbor next to me on the north, that they were going to take her property and her son's and daughter's property, whatever son's property to get. She comes over and said, Carl, why haven't you been at the meetings? I said, I didn't need to. I ain't going to bother my place. Why should I go? She said, they are going to get your place too. They're going to buy all the way through your property and stop over here at Mr. Bill's. Man, my heart went kapunk. I got sick real quick, so to speak. I was really heavily laden. I went into my business the next morning and I was under such a load that I was just down. I was just weighted down because I would look like I was going to lose my place. And I didn't want to sell it to something like that. And I eventually sold it, but I sold it to an individual. And so I went in, and after I got everything open and everything was so-and-so, I just laid over on my desk and I began to see God. And it's like he had a big old hand that come right down through the roof of that building, and he just grabbed that whole burden and he just lifted the whole thing off of me and it disappeared. And I was light as a feather from there. I didn't have no more trouble. Well, they didn't take my place. Matter of fact, I don't even know if they bought Linda's place. They changed plans and everything totally changed. And I ended up keeping it, selling it later in 1999, I guess it was. We closed on it. But the bottom line is, how many times has he done that for you? How many times has he visited you at 3 a.m. in the morning? How many times has he encouraged you of a battle or trial? We ought to praise him. He's worthy to be praised. All right, let's go to 111 of Psalms. 111 and 1. Praise ye the Lord. I'll praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great. Sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He hath showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprighteousness. All right, he said, praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. Lord, help us to praise God with our whole heart. It not be divided between us and the world or whatever, but we center it down on the one that's given us things, that's doing stuff for us. When a man and a woman fall in love, they have eyes for one another. They're not out roaming looking for somebody else. They want that one person, that one lady, that one man, that one girl, that one boy, whatever. They're after them. They want to be with them. They want to see them. They want to talk to them. They want to spend time with them. Well, that's the way we should do with God. Our affections and our love should be centered on him, reaching out to him. He's our love, so to speak. He is the one that has done so much for you and I. And because of that, we want to praise him. Do you know that, I don't think I'm wrong on this. Do you know praise is good for people? How many times do you praise somebody? I was talking to somebody the other day and I asked them about their son. I said, how much do people praise him? Well, I thought a little bit. Well, this and this. I said, okay, I'm just curious. I'm wondering. Because I said, I think it'd be good if he'd get some praise. He's a good boy. He just is a little, I don't know what it is. Maybe a little shy, maybe a little backwards. I don't know. But he feels like nobody likes him. Well, if we would praise him and exalt him, so to speak, and help him, you don't want to get him too high, but you want to get him up out of the despondencies and so forth. There was somebody, Sister Karen Dixon, she came down when Rebecca was sick and she was working. Cousin Kawita asked her to come down and help us to know how to dress Becky's legs and so forth, how to work better with her and everything. So she came down on a Sunday evening, I believe it was, and come down and spent time. And you know what she did? As Kawita and I would do things that was right, she'd say, y'all doing good. You're doing fine. I like what you're doing. However, she'd say it. Listen, folks, we can do that to others. But listen, today, God does that for you and I. He gives us things, and we ought to respond, thank you, Lord. I praise thee for what you're doing for me. With our whole heart, complete, total, without a holdback, giving it all to him, in the assembly of the upright, and in the congregation. Well, we should do it here. And a lot of times in meetings and stuff, and I hate to say this, but the Church of God, folks, is way too quiet. Uh-oh, I said the wrong thing there, didn't I? It's been this way all 40-some years I've been with the saints. Well, you're a big praiser. I am. But it don't hurt for others to praise God, too, during service. Brother Charles Smith one time was in a meeting somewhere. And I guess the Lord was coming down. And Brother Charles was about to explode, and he jumped up and he started praising God, and he turned around and he said about 100 people come out of their pews. I've never seen that many. Even in Monarch, I've never seen that much. I've seen it happen, but not to the multitude. I believe it would be good folk in the congregation, in our assemblies, praise God, in our regular services, and in our assembly meetings, our camp meetings, our revival meetings, that you and I would praise God more right there in service, right there in the song service, right there in preaching, praise God. It's like Sikkim, dog, when you're going, amen. All right now, I don't want to get too hard on you, but I'm just telling you my heart. Just pouring it out. Watch this for a number of years now. And consequently, it's wise, it's good to praise God in the services. If He wasn't here, what would we have, folks? We don't have a bunch of DDs and PhDs in the pulpit and in the singing and all that. We've got God. We've got a spirit. When one man goes about and he goes to 50 other churches in a town and he comes back and says, you've got what nobody else has got. That's a pretty high compliment. But it's God. It's not you and I. It's the Lord, praise God, that is blessing us and filling us and doing what He's doing. And you and I ought to come in and say, praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise. You're doing all right. Yes, sir. Thank the Lord for what He's doing. Because it is Him. People come into our assemblies and they look things over and they go away. Well, one evangelist now, many years ago, he was a young lady, beautiful young lady, coming into service. She was a granddaughter of somebody there in this particular place. And he talked to Rebecca and I later. He said, I don't believe she's probably never seen anything like that. I don't think she had. It was kind of a, you know, she was all eyes, so to speak. Looking it over, studying it out. She didn't know what to think. Well, it wasn't us. It was the Lord. It was His Spirit. He's working. Now, folks, if we want Him to continue to work, we need to praise Him. We need to extol Him. We need to say, Lord, thank You for coming down. Thank You for smelling in our assemblies, walking in our assemblies, blessing in our assemblies. Have you ever seen it where the presence of the Lord was so rich, nobody hardly moved, even the children? It was in Guthrie. It's been more than that. I'm thinking of one particular service in Guthrie a few years back, the new chapel. And He had just come, the Lord come down, His presence so rich that day. And there was such a solemnity. And the people were just testifying. And it was a night service. And even the children pretty well were quiet. Nobody wanted to leave the service. Why? Because God was there. God was there. There was a preaching service in La Ronda here a few years back. And the Lord come down. And Rebecca told me, said there was a solemnity all over that crowd. Did you feel it? He was there. A solemnity. Listen, these things are God. It's not me. It's not Brother Marty. It's not Brother Ed or whatever. It's the Lord. It's the Holy Ghost. It's His power. So consequently, we ought to praise Him. We ought to thank Him for what He's doing. Because, folks, if He didn't do it, it's like an old, dry, cut-up song. It don't sound very good. I'm going to tell you, pretty dead, pretty dry, isn't it? Oh, today, thank the Lord for what He's done. 147:1 of the good book of Psalms said, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. All right, now he's saying praise is comely. Clark says praise is comely. It is decent, befitting, and proper that every intelligent creature should acknowledge the Supreme Being. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? That we should acknowledge. It's decent, befitting, and proper that every intelligent creature should acknowledge the Supreme God of heaven. The one that created. Listen, folks, He don't have this among the unsaved. He has to have it among those that know Him. I'm not saying unsaved don't ever thank God. I'm not saying that. But the bottom line, they don't have what the saved people have got. They don't have it inside. It don't just bubble out of them, so to speak. It don't just spill out of them. Listen, folks, today, Lord, help the praises of God just to kind of flow out of us, praise God, because of what He's doing. Oh, today, are we praising Him enough? For it is good to sing praises unto our God. To sing praise. It is pleasant and praise is comely. Oh, today, thank the Lord. All right, let's go to 119.171. 119.171. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. Now then, all right, this gets into the education line, so to speak. Did you all ever appreciate any of your school teachers? I went to public school. My wife taught our girls all the way from before kindergarten all the way through 12th grade. Both of them. But when you have a private tutor, so to speak, that teaches you and works with you and helps you, listen, folks, this Bible is spiritually discerned. You can't just get this out of the ABCs of the books of the schools and so forth. This is spiritually discerned. He said, worship me in spirit and in truth. So consequently, it's going to take him to help us to get a hold of this. The statutes, the commandments, the doctrines and everything. It's going to take him. I don't care how smart a man is. Brother Austin Wilson said one time of some scriptures in Ephesians. He said it took him several years before he got the depths of them. He just kept on looking, asking, looking, asking. Do you always get all the understanding on scriptures when you pray the first time? Probably not. It takes maybe several times, maybe several months, maybe a few years for you to get, because this is spiritually written. It has spiritual understanding to it, and you and I only get it because he gives it to us. But he's glad to do it, but he gives it to us at his time as we've got knowledge and understanding to be able to grasp a hold of it. But the bottom line is we should praise him for what we know. And do we? Do we? Oh, he said, do we? My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. Oh, today, let us praise him for what he's taught us in the Word of God. Some scriptures are pretty easy, but have you ever read one particular scripture and got thought out of it, and you go down maybe a few months and you read again and get some more out of it, and you go down and you read again and get some more out of it? There's a God in heaven can do that, and that's God Almighty. This book has got ways God can inspire, open up, and that's the reason preachers can preach like we preach, because he can inspire us and open things up we never even thought about before. Brother David Madden, never knew the man, just heard about him. One day he was beginning a little bit frustrated. He's thinking, I preached everything in the Bible, I have nothing else to preach. And God spoke to him and said, son, there's thousands of messages in there you've never touched. Thousands of them. So much in there because of his inspiration, because of his power, because of his enlightenment. He can start us off on a thought and take us and go so many different ways that we can never quit preaching, praise God, because of him. Praise him in the sanctuary. Praise him on the job. Praise him everywhere we go. All right, let's go to Daniel. Daniel, the second chapter, 20th verse. Daniel 2 and 20 here. And Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the time and the seasons. He removeth kings, setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and the secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, has made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Now David had his back against, Daniel had his back against the wall, so to speak, and the Lord come in and revealed to him what he needed him to know. Now, what does the Bible say about wisdom? If any man lack wisdom, let him what? Ask of God, who give to all men liberally, and what? And upbraideth not. He is so wise, but he does not look down upon you and I for asking of him wisdom. Sometimes it could be small things. Sometimes it could be big things. He is an expert in everything. There is not anything that He can't give us wisdom on. Raising children, being a husband, being a wife, that ain't always easy. You got to need the Lord to help you know how to deal with one another sometimes, how to humble and how to communicate and how to work together. It takes God to do this. It takes it on the job. It takes it in the night seasons and whatever. I have had Him open up. I've actually lost sleep on install, Doug, trying to figure these things out. I thought I was probably the only one because I'm probably the dumbest carpenter Dan and Philip had working for him in a sense of the word. I didn't know what the Mitchells knew and the Gillenbecks knew and the Gibsons knew. I didn't know all that. But it had him work. Made a statement like that one time, looked over one of me, shaking his head, yeah, I've lost a lot of sleep too, Carl. He's way better than I am. And God, one night I was down in Atlanta, I think, and I had such a bad headache. And I was trying, this was not even an install, this was a rework as we call it. And I couldn't put it together. I flat couldn't put it together. I finally called Brother Dan, I said, listen, I said, my head is hurting so bad, I cannot make a sense of this thing. It's not making any sense. I said, I want to quit and I want to go to the motel and I want to get a good night's sleep and I don't have a lot of headaches. And I want to have a good night's rest and come back refreshed and maybe... And the next morning, it just opened up to me so plain. I got there and got to looking at it, and I thought, oh, that's it right there. I was out in San Diego, California, a couple of years ago, doing something I'd never done before. And again, I'd run into whatever. I called my nephew, Billy Gilmore. He was on a job in Houston doing some of the very same thing. And he began to explain it. And all of a sudden, I'd be to God like one of the girls was to Rebecca one time. I just lit up. I saw it. I had it. It made sense to me. Listen, folks, today, God is able to give you and I the wisdom that we need on anything, but He wants us to praise Him for it. To thank Him. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the wisdom in knowing how to handle this. Listen, folks, there's going to be some things that's too big for us, but God has got the wisdom to help us know how to work with it. Problems in families and different things. It comes, we bump into it and so forth, and we flat don't know what to do. He can take a young person and do anything He wants with them if they'll give it to Him. He can take an old person, a middle-aged person, and He can enlighten them and give them wisdom in the deep hours of the night. God comes along and giving them exactly what they need. But let us praise Him. Thank you, Lord, for the wisdom. Praise God for you giving me that. That's what Daniel's saying here. I thank Thee and praise Thee. Oh, Thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might. The power. Do you know how much power is in this pulpit? I had a breakdown in 06. A year before my wife had a nervous breakdown in 07. And there were Sundays I didn't even want to be me. I felt so bad. I would sit over here where Brother Dan and them sitting in Shawnee Chapel, and I would sit there, and I didn't even want to get out of my pew. I didn't even want to get out of bed. And I was there. And I would come into this pulpit, so to speak, and I would start taking prayer requests, and I could feel power literally going into my body. Maybe it didn't happen unless I started preaching. And the Lord would give me the might. He would give me the strength to be able to proclaim the gospel. I told Him over and over, I coined the phrase, you pray, I'll preach. Now you guys get behind me. Don't you sit down like a bump on a log. I want you to pray for me. I don't feel good tonight. The old man that I mentioned this morning, 102, he came up to me one night. He said, for a man that don't feel good, you sure did preach good tonight. I said, well, thank the Lord, Brother Biden. It wasn't me, it was the Lord. Listen, folks, we're dependent on Him, praise God. We're dependent on what He can do. He can give us the strength. He can give us the wisdom to help you and I to know and to do exactly what we've got to do. What did He say? Run through a troop and jump over a wall, praise God. It's possible through God. It's possible through Him, not in ourselves. I'm going to tell you the truth, can gun us down real quick. But we can make one fly leap and leap over all of it, praise God, and just sail right on to victory through Him. Give me wisdom and might, and it made known unto me now what we desired of Thee. In other words, he come to God. Lord, I need You. Listen, we can come to Him in sincerity. When I was building my house in Oklahoma City, didn't know then what I know now, and I was struggling with something, and looked into Him in the night, and the Lord just made it so plain. There it is right there. Oh, okay. Got it. I got it. I don't know about you, but God has done things. Well, I'll give you an instance. I was struggling about going to South Carolina. I wanted to know as well. I wasn't struggling about not wanting to go, in a sense. I wanted to be sure it was His will. He spoke to me one day like this. He goes, if you work for General Motors and they transferred you from Midwest City to Charleston, South Carolina, what would you do? I said, I'd go. He said, that settles it. And I went. Just as simple. He's so simple with it. He can get it to anybody, folks. Somebody said, well, I'm not an Ed Wilson. You don't got to be. God is God. And He can help you to understand anything you need to know. Get it on your line. Praise God. I ain't very smart neither. But I'm going to tell you, He gets it down. I was coming back to Oklahoma, and I was struggling because of all the wind in Oklahoma. And I sure enjoyed South Carolina. And he spoke to me again. He said, child. He said, my child, Jesus Christ never did let the weather affect His ministry in any way. I said, I'm going, Lord. I got it. I'm going. I'm not going to let the wind stop me from going to Shawnee. He can get it down where you can understand it. Oh, today, He changes a time. Blessed be the name of God. Forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. Oh, thank the Lord for what He gives to us and does for us. All right, let's just go back to the good book of Psalms here. Good book of Psalms 138. Psalms. I will praise Thee with my whole heart before the gods while I sing praise unto Thee. I'll worship toward Thy holy temple and praise Thy name for Thy loving kindness, for Thy truth. For Thou hast magnified Thy word above all Thy name. In the day when I cried, Thou answered me and strengthened me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise Thee, O Lord, when they shall hear the words of Thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet He hath respect unto the lowly, but the proud He knoweth afar off. Now He said, I'll praise Thee again with my whole heart before the gods. All the idols that are out there. Listen, folks, there's still idols out there. Only now it ain't these little things like this, or maybe like this, or maybe 10 foot tall. It's sports. It's medicine. It's a lot of things people have made idols out of, and they worship that. They idolize that. Had people that would come through my service station back, and they'd be headed to the West Coast to a football game, or the East Coast, or somewhere in between, going for a football game, or to a basketball, or whatever it might be. And then I said, well, I'm going to drive to Myrtle for a weekend singing and so forth. And they look at you and they go, what are you going to do that for? Why? Because I love God. Why? I want a blessing. Now they can sit and ball because, oh, you lost to Nebraska 19 whatever year it was. They said we lost that game down there. Said people just cried because they lost by 2 points, I think it was, or whatever. The bottom line is we need to be crying to God. We need to be at the altar if we need to be. We need to be getting down before God. And oh, today, He said before the gods, let us praise God before these people, before the idols, so to speak, of this country. I'll worship toward Thy holy temple and praise Thy name for Thy loving kindness. Now, does anybody feel like the Lord's had loving kindness toward them? He has, hasn't He? A lot of it. One of my favorite scriptures is Jeremiah 30. Let me see here. Jeremiah 31 and 3, I think it is, or 33 and 1, 31 and 3. 31 and 3. The Lord appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Now, has he drawn you with loving kindness? Sure he has. A lot of times. There's times, folks, we deserve worse than what we got by far. We deserve a good old spanking. And he might have chastised us some, but he always added that loving kindness in there and took the hardness off of it. And helped us. Oh, today, I will praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Oh, today, we are thankful to have the Bible. We can get the right Bible. A King James Version still is available. This little book right here, 26th translation of the Bible. I can't get them like this anymore. They're in a bigger book, bigger than my Bible. And I like this because I could break it up anyway I want to. There were three volumes of this. There was Genesis to, I guess, through Job or through whatever. And then Psalms through Malachi and then the New Testament in this. And we were in Tulsa one time, and my daughters, one of the girls with me, LaDonna, sent in, I don't remember which one. Well, anyway, they got a hold of this, and they were looking at it, and they'd be a little rough with it. I said, Donna, that's valuable. That's precious. Be careful. Don't tear my Bible up. You know, I use that a lot. Well, the same thing with this word. We should be so valuable, so precious, so thankful, so praising for what He's given us in this Word. There's people out there that don't have this Bible. There's people that give all kinds of money over maybe Russia or Germany or whatever. They would give high sums to get their hands on what we've got. I've got numbers of Bibles in my home. I don't even know how many I got. Numbers of them in my house. And I thank God and praise Him for every one of them. It's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. The truth that He's inspired and sunk into our souls and so forth. In the day when I cried, Thou answered me. How many prayers has He answered for you? Have you ever been so hurt that you couldn't even talk and just got out and just bawl like a baby before Him? But you knew He was hearing you. You knew He was gathering up all the everything that you was doing. It happened to me one time many years ago. I don't remember what caused it, but I just went home and I just got out and I just cried. I couldn't even talk to Him. I was just crying. But I knew He was hearing me. I knew He was working with it. And when I got through, I was blessed. But it was Him. It wasn't me. He answered. Sometimes He answers immediately, sometimes not so quickly, but He still answers and still works or tells you what to do and where to go, how to do it. Oh, today, strengthen me with strength in my soul. Folks, we need strength in the soul as well as the body. We've got to have Him. It said, what does that one scripture say? Though the outward man perisheth, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. It's renewed with strength. It's renewed with vigor. And part of it's right out of this book right here. And He can take this. When you and I get this book all in our heart and mind, and you can't memorize everything in this Bible, I don't think. If you can, tell me about it. But you probably can't memorize it, but you've read it. And He can take like a computer and bring it back to you. All right, you take a child. What does the Bible say? Raise up a child the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. Train him. Teach him the Word of God. Get it there. Why? Because then if he starts to go astray, God can take that and say, this says the Word of the Lord. Remember what Mama taught you and Daddy taught you? And they'll think about that. All right, you and I, when we get in battle, and we have read the Word of God and we've got it down as much as we can, memorized it and knowledge of it. And then when we get in a battle, we may not have a Bible with us, but He can bring that back to us. Say, here, child. A while before Rebecca Ann died, I had a day of grief. I don't know if I knew she was going to go at that point, but anyway, this was a Wednesday, and I cried nearly all day long. I worked and cried and worked and cried and worked and cried and worked and cried. Finally, in the afternoon, I said, "Lord, if there's anything you can do for me, help me." I didn't have a headache. I'd cried too much, and I had a lot of crying days after she died, in particular. But you know what he told me? He gave me one scripture. He said, "Think on these things. Whatsoever things are lovely, just, of good report, and so forth. Think on these things." Well, I looked it up on my phone. Didn't have my Bible with me. Looked it up on my phone and read it. And I got to enter in. Guess what happened? The crying stopped. It got concealed. Got consumed in the Word. And got to thinking on that. See, he brought it to me. If I hadn't known that scripture, he couldn't have used it. So we want to get this thing written on the table, the fleshly tables of our heart, where he can bring it to us. And then, praise God, we can say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for giving me that. Enlightening me with that and helping me with that. Oh, today, strengthen me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth." That would be wonderful. That's probably not going to happen in a sense. But back in that time, it was probably more of a reality than it is now. "Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord." Oh, Lord, help us. Lord, help us to praise God. 2 Chronicles 5. 2 Chronicles 5, 13 and 14. We're winding it on down here. Just keep praying for us. 2 Chronicles 5, 13, 14. Now this is an example. "And it came even to pass, as the trumpeters and the singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and praise the Lord, saying, 'For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever,' that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God." That'd be quite a place to be, wouldn't it? What is the glory of God? Who can tell me what the glory of God is? It's the extreme presence of God. And usually when it's there, there ain't no way you're going to know it. You'll about explode. And I mean literally just, you can't hardly control it. I mean, you can't hardly contain it because it is so powerful. I've been there. And I thought I would just blow up, so to speak. But just before I did, I didn't. The Lord just got close enough, but then he backed off. Just enough to get me, let me feel it. Well, this right here, he said, "It came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one." Unity brings down the power of God about as quick as anything. Unity brings power. Power brings results. So consequently, they were there in one. What happened on the, what was it, day before Pentecost? When they were all gathered together, and what were they? They were all praying as one. They were all in unity and so forth. What about the day when Peter was in jail? Remember that? And the angel come. What did it say? They were praying without ceasing, praying to God to get him out of jail. They were all praying as one. There are different places in the Bible. Well, Psalms 133, I think it is. Let me see here. Yeah, 133:1. "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment upon the head ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, and went down to the skirts of his garment, as the dew of Hermon, as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore." That unity of the brethren. And here he's saying here they were all one. To make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. That would be something. I understand in Austria, I think they were saying there was three languages going, and every one of them could be understood in their own language, and all of it was so beautiful you could not believe it. I'd love to hear that. One reason I'd like to go, Brother Larry, Sister Maxine, different ones that went over there, has told me how glorious it is because the Lord comes down and blesses. Oh, today when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, "For He is good. His mercy endureth forever." That then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. All praising in one, all lifting Him up in one, exalting Him and praising Him and thanking Him for what He's done, because He's God. If anybody deserves praise, it's God. All right, 21 and 13 of Psalms. 21 and 13 of Psalms. "Be Thou exalted, Lord, in Thine own strength. So we will sing and praise Thy power." Sister Angela Gillenbeck got married when she was still 16 years old. There was a pretty good crowd there in the old chapel in Guthrie. And within about a month, it might have been a little over, she preached her first message. You know what it was on? The power of God. I remember that years and years ago. She married after Rebecca and I, but it's been 30-something years ago. And it was on the power of God. Now, folks, power is what you and I have got to have. And what I mean by that is can anybody go anywhere in a car without power? What does a mechanic do if somebody's having trouble with a car and it don't have any power? They want that fixed. They want that car to run. It don't do a car any good to just sit there all the time and don't do anything. It's not worth much. It's got to have some power. Tractor's got to have power. Boat's got to have power. Airplane's got to have power. You and I got to have power. And He's got power to give us the power to do what He needs us to do. So consequently, we need to praise Him for Thy power. Power in healing, power in victory, power in deliverance, power in whatever. Just all different angles of power that He's got for you and I to help us and to work with us. Like I said, there's power right here in this pulpit. I've gone through it many, many times. It wasn't me, it was Him. And it happened over and over. Old Brother Sam Abbott liked to die in the pulpit several years ago, but he didn't. God raised him back up again. Sister Catherine Williams liked to die right there in the front of the church at 23rd Street. And they were praying so much for her, and the Lord honored their prayers. And she was praying later and said, "Lord, why did you heal me? Why did you bring me back? I was this close to heaven." He said, "Because I had to honor my children's prayers." I believe what he told her. Had to honor. Well, you can imagine everybody getting around in unity. The Lord honored that. He respected that. Oh, today His power. Are we praising Him enough for His power? We don't want to just wait till we need it one time. We need to praise Him all the time for it. All right, let's go to 149 and 6 of Psalms, and then we'll go 145, 1 through 3, and we'll be through. 149 and 6. "Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen, punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains, their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all His saints. Praise ye the Lord." Now He said, let the high praises of God be in their mouth. High praises. Could you say your praise is high praise, low praise, or in between? Where could we put our praise at? In their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. Now what would the two-edged sword be? The Word of God. Talks about over in Hebrews 4 and 12, I think it is, about the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. And so we take the high praises of God and the The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing center of soul and spirit. So we can take this word of God and the high praises of God, and we can execute vengeance upon the heathen. We can take this and give it to them. And it can condemn them. It can challenge them. It can stir them. It can do things because God takes it and works with it. The word of the Lord is not bound, the Bible said. You can't put it in a box. If people try to put it in a box, it's going to come out of that box. Nobody can box up the word of God. He can take it anywhere at any time. I don't believe in Babylon. I don't believe it's right. But the Lord can use His word in Babylon to get a hold of people, touching them in their souls. And so you and I can take the high praises of God. That's to be in our mouth, and the two-edged sword in their hand, and we can execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people. Oh, today, are we doing that? Are they seeing that there's somebody praising God? All right, 145:1, we'll be through. 145:1. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I'll bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I'll praise thy name forever and ever. Lord, help us here. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. Now then, he said here, I will bless thy name forever and ever. Who's really going to praise God but the saints? I mean, there's some people out there that will. Christians will do it. In September of 2012, Rebecca had a first cousin named Melanie King. She was a little younger than we were, best I remember. But her and Rebecca had formed a tight bond. She had helped Becky on the sorrow book and everything. Becky was in the process of trying to make an updated version of this book. And Melanie was helping her. But Melanie had battled cancer for 6 years. She had not gone to doctors as far as having any surgeries or anything. She'd done it naturally and with prayer. And she had done fine. She had held in there. Everything went well. And then all of a sudden, and I can't remember what happened, but something went wrong. And when it did, she started going down quickly. And I was getting ready one morning, and here come Becky crying. And I knew probably Melanie had died. And she had. We went to her funeral. Brother Willie, Sister Nita, Rebecca and I. And we went to her funeral. It was a Baptist church in Kansas City, Missouri. This building had 100,000 square feet in it. Wrap your mind around that one. It was a huge building. It had a sanctuary that I think would hold 1,500-something people. They had a choir. And it was no small choir loft. It was huge. There was a lot of people up there. And there was a guy there. They put us, the family, in the pastor's study. I wouldn't mind having it myself. It had some of the beautiful woodwork in it. It was gorgeous. And it was nearly as big as the sanctuary right here. Not quite, but nearly as big. It was about as wide and just about as big as the sanctuary, what it was. And of course, I was all eyes looking. I get into stuff like that. My carpenter experience and janitor goes combining. I start looking. And I was staring at it. He come in there and he said, folks, he said, you're going to be in for an awesome service. He was kind of bragging before they had it. I didn't like that part of it. But I have to admit, it wasn't too bad. And what the deal was, is those I'm not for Babylon. Don't get me wrong. I'm not praising Babylon in sin. But what they would do, those people that were singing up there, there were so many of them, it was awesome. And they were raising their hands. They were rejoicing. They were praising God. I thought, Lord, help us to do better than them. We've got the truth. We've got everything that we need. And a lot of times we sit around like a bunch of bump on log. And here they were just praising God and rejoicing and singing at the top of their lungs. It was pretty. I went to a wedding there and I went to a funeral there. And the pastor there didn't do too bad with both services. But can we not beat them? Can we not do better than them? He says here, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I'll bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee. And I will praise thy name forever and ever. Here we go, ever and ever. How's people going to really see the true godly praise if it don't come from us? Can't do it. We're the only ones that can give it out, is the people that are really saved. Whether it be right in our body that you can see, visible body, or maybe people out there in Babylon that are saved or overseas or whatever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. You can never get to the bottom of His greatness. You can search and search and search and never get it all searched out. One generation shall praise thy works to another. Our children need to hear us praising God. Our parents praise God. Well, I don't know that mine did so particularly, but I'm talking about the church now, the saints that have had children on down through the years and grandchildren and so forth. They've seen mama, daddy, grandma, grandpa. They've heard them praising God and shall declare thy mighty acts. Telling, I'll speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous work. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts. And I will declare thy greatness. Oh, today, are we praising God as much as we should, saints? Lord wants us to praise Him. Wants us to extol Him, lift Him up. Give Him what He is due. I appreciate your time, your attention, your prayers, and I pray for me.